الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفمن شرح الله صدره للإسلام فهو على نور من ربه فويل للقاسية قلوبهم من ذكر الله أولئك في ضلال مبين وقال تعالى وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى كافرا منها شربة ماء أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام
Honorable Ulama Ikram, Hufaz of the Quran, Elders and dear brothers, Rasulullah, when the ayat أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّي was revealed, then Sahaba radiallahu anhum, wherein Allah says, that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands his chest, open his chest, then that person has nur, he has a special light from his Rabb. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how is this possible? Where a person's chest is expanded, he gets special nur in his heart. What is the sign for that? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, there are three qualities. If a person has these three qualities, then we should know that person, Allah has expanded his chest, he's got the nur of Iman in his heart, he's got the nur of Islam in his heart. So the first quality Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned was At-tajafi and daril ghurur. The first quality, a person, he has disinclination for the temporary life of this world. His heart is not attached to this world. The second one is al-inabatu ila daril khulud. He has inclination for akhirah, the desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the desire for jannat. His heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third quality, al-isti'adad lil mawti qabla nuzulihi. That person, he prepares for death before death comes upon, overcomes him. He always has this consciousness in his mind. He always keeps in his mind, this world is temporary. The real life is the life of akhirat. So all the time, his worry and concern is to prepare for death. So the first quality was to have the disinclination for this world. We see from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized on the sahaba. He taught them this lesson. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking with the sahaba radiallahu anhum, they saw a dead kid on the road. So the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the sahaba radiallahu anhum, this who wishes to purchase this dead corpse for one gold coin? So sahaba radiallahu anhum replied in astonishment, ya Rasulullah, we won't even take it for free. So Rasulullah then is teaching them a very great lesson. So Rasulullah, many times in ahadith we find he would teach them through examples to understand certain aspects, not to create the disinclination for this world, the wealth of this world, the luxuries of this world. Rasulullah ﷺ told them that, wallah, by the oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this dunya, the love of the wealth of this dunya, the luxuries of this dunya is more abhorred to Allah subhanahu in the sight of Allah than this dead kid. We know that dead goat, it leaves out a very bad stench, a bad smell. Who's going to take it? It's of no benefit. But we have to actually bury it so that people can be protected from the harm of the smell of that goat. At times, many animals will come, and insects and flies, it will breed diseases. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the life of this world. When we talk of dunya, we talk about love for dunya. Dunya refers to all those things that take a person's attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is dunya. So a person may have a shop, he needs to earn, help his family, that's akhirat. He gets reward to go every day to earn money so that he can help the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can give lillah, he can pay his zakat, he can help his family. This is a very great ibadah. طلب كسب الحلال فريضة. That to go and, it's a very great duty for a person to go and earn halal livelihood. So when we refer to dunya, very important for us to understand is that those things that will take a person away from Allah Ta'ala. If a person's shop, his business, does not allow him to read his salah with jamaat in the musalla, in a masjid, then that is dunya. If a person, his family, his house, he's got so much luxury, he's so comfortable in his home, that's preventing him from coming to the musalla, the masjid, that is regarded as dunya. So anything that takes a person away from Allah, a person who does business transactions so he can get more wealth, but he does it in the incorrect way, that is dunya. So anything which a person will, he will break a command of Allah, or he will not fulfill a command of Allah, that is dunya. Very important for us to understand. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now in this hadith, he mentioned that the love for this world, the love for this dunya, will create these diseases, will create this bad stench in a person's heart, in his life. When he has love for the things of this world, his heart is attached to the things of this world, it will create evil qualities in him. So this is حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيَةً. The love for dunya, where a person forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the root to all evils. Example for us to understand this, how much a person living in this world, he should live like how the example the ulama give is like a ship, a boat moving in the water. As long as it's moving on top of the water, it will move well. But when the water will get into the boat, into the ship, then it will sink. So similarly, in this world, we have to live in this world. We need to get involved in mundane activities, go to the shop, earn a livelihood. But once the love of the dunya enters the heart, that is when a person, it will drown a person. That's when a person will forget Allah Ta'ala. He will neglect his salah. He will neglect paying his zakah. He will then involve himself in haram, when too much love. So the first quality that we need to bring in our life is the disinclination for the love of this world. And this world is such, a person, the more he has love for it, the more it takes him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا الْحَيَاتُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. The life of this world is only deception. A person, it's like Allah mentions in the Quran, a person moving in a desert, and it's a mirage. He thinks there's water from far, but when he gets there, there's no water. It's just the reflection of the sun. For us to understand the deception of this world, a nice example, there was seven uncles and they had a nephew. This nephew was a very shrewd, cunning nephew. He knew his seven uncles were very greedy. So he thought to himself, I can make a lot of money from my uncles. So he went and bought a donkey. And he fed that donkey gold coins. He just stuffed that donkey with gold coins. Then he invited his seven uncles and he told them to come home. I've got an amazing animal. This one here, every time you hit this animal, gold coins come out from its mouth. It comes out from the back. It's amazing. It's a top investment. So the uncles come and they see amazing. He whenever he hits the donkey, gold coins are coming out. So they get really amazed and they think, hey, this is the right thing. If we get this, we set for life. We don't have to worry anymore. So they tell the nephew, they now try to bargain with him, sell it to us for 1 million. So he says, no, impossible. This is a golden donkey. It's a special donkey. This is my investment. I get all my money from this donkey. Then they increased the price until they reached a very high amount. They reached 100 million. So they said, okay, now you can take it. This is a good offer. So they take it, they get very happy, they go home. So the uncles decided amongst themselves, each one will have a day, the 7 days in the week, we'll all have our turn. By the time the first uncle, when he hit it, he had some gold coins. Second uncle, third uncle. By the time the fourth uncle came, all the gold coins were finished. It was now they said, there's no gold coins coming out. So they said, this nephew of ours, he tricked us. We're going to show him a point. So now the nephew, now he knows the uncles are going to come back. Now he is devising another plan, another scheme to deceive them again. So now he tells his wife that I'm going out for in the morning. I'm going to the farm. I'll be going hunting and got some work. But he told his wife exactly what he wants for supper. So he had one rabbit left at the house and he took one rabbit with him. So now as they're coming towards his place and he was outside in the fields, they tell him, they want to start discussing this matter about the donkey. So he changes now he starts talking about something else. He changes their mind. He puts it away and tells them, look at this amazing rabbit of mine. You know, I go hunting. I go work every day. Now we have a problem. Come home. We are feeling for chicken curry at night. The wife is making binda. She's making some vegetables. Every day we have something, we feel for something, but the wife is making something else. They said, that's the perfect thing for us. So he says, watch, I will show you all. So he tells the rabbit to pass the information to his wife that tonight I want pizzas, he says which dessert he wanted, he says what type of drink he wanted, he gave his full order, and he let the rabbit go in the wild. So these uncles now, he said, this is something amazing, they follow him. They come home and they see on the table all the whatever he asked, exact same food, the exact menu which he, the same things which he asked the rabbit, exactly the same things are on the table. So the uncles get amazed. They see, and they see a rabbit at the house. So the uncle says, please, you have to sell this rabbit to us. Now they forgot what happened the last time, they're getting deceived again. So they start bargaining with him until they pay a very huge amount. They take that rabbit with them. Then they go out in the day, they go into the fields and they all place the order with the rabbit, go and tell the wife what orders they wanted, what they're feeling for. And that rabbit, they left it loose, it was gone in the wild. They came home, they asked the wives, we sent this order and that order with the rabbit and this is what you made for us. How come you made this food? So the wife says, are you gone crazy? What rabbit are you talking about? Which rabbit is going to come and pass the message of what food you like? So then they realize, now we're going to really catch this uncle of ours, this nephew of ours. Now they come to the nephew. Then the nephew was very clever. He starts fighting with his wife. And he takes the fat and the intestines of the chicken and he puts it around his wife. And he tells his wife, now when I will act like I'm fighting with you, and when I place the knife near you, then you must act like you're falling down. So now the uncles come and he's sweating his wife. He's fighting with his wife. Now the uncles are watching this whole thing, and then at that moment they just entered. He act like he's stabbing the wife, and then next minute the wife falls down and there's full blood around the wife. So they told him, are you crazy? How can you do such a thing? This is our niece. And how can you just kill her like that for such a petty issue? For such a small... just because she didn't cook the right food for you. So he said, don't worry, I got a special knife. This is a magic knife. So he takes the knife and he puts it on top of his... places it over the wife and he says, oh, magic knife, bring my wife back to life. The wife wakes up. Hey, they get amazed. This is the perfect thing. We need this here. We need this knife. Every day our wives, they trouble us. We can just vent our anger. We can feel nice. And then they'll come back to life again. The uncles go. They pay another big amount, huge amount of money. They take it. They all go and they end up killing their wives. And now they come back and they try, knife, bring my wife back to life. Nothing happening. This is our nephew really deceived us. This time we really have to take revenge. Now as soon as they come towards the close to the nephew. The nephew tells him, "I got to invite." He's dressed very well, and he tells him, "You know what? I got an invitation to the king. You want to follow me?" They got excited. They heard the going to the palace of the king. There's an invitation from the king. Hey, we're going to get top food. We get top treatment. We get close to the king. We might get a good position in the government. So then they forget about it. They follow the nephew. Now the nephew takes them. They have, they enjoy their meal. Now these uncles were all greedy. So the meal was served with pure gold spoons. So they all took one gold spoon and put it in their pocket quietly. Now the nephew was very shrewd. He checked, he saw all of them, what they were doing. Then he told the king, can I show you a special magic? This magic from our area. This, I will put one gold spoon in my pocket and you'll see one gold spoon coming out from the pocket of each of my uncles. Then he does it. The king got so happy, gives him all the gold spoons. Now they come out, they tell him, now we, enough is enough. You deceived us, enough. Now we are really going to take revenge. They take him, they put him in one sack, they tie it up, and they are going towards one well to throw him into a well. On the pathway, it was a long, the pathway was quite long, the road was long. They all needed to relieve themselves. So they left the nephew at one spot and they all went to relieve themselves. Now the nephew is screaming and is asking for help. One shepherd is going past with all his animals, with his sheep and goats and cows. And that time, that back in it was the, before in the olden times, that was the greatest wealth. So he tells, the shepherd comes to him, asks him, what's the problem? He says, no, my uncles, they want me to get married to the princess and I just don't want to get married to the princess. The shepherd said, this sounds nice. He opens this, he said, he opens the sack. He told him, if you want to get married to a princess, you have to go inside. He put him inside and he puts the shepherd inside the sack and he ties it up. Then he goes away with all the animals, he goes back home. The uncles come. This shepherd is screaming, save me, I'm not the nephew and I'm a shepherd. And this is what happened. They told the uncle said to themselves, this guy, he's deceiving us, he's using another voice. We know he deceived us enough, we're not going to allow him to deceive us. They go and they throw him into a well. Now they come, they said they'll come home, we'll go to our niece, we'll sympathize, we'll make a story, we'll just bluff the niece what happened. They come and they see the nephew there, and he's got loads of animals, and he's got sheep and goats and camels. They ask him, what happened? I told him, that was a magical well you threw me in. The more deeper you go, the better animals you get. So I came out of that well with all the animals. So he takes them, said, oh, please take us to that well. They go to that well, and they all start jumping inside, and they all drown, and they all die. But this is, it may be funny, but it's a lesson for us to learn. Our example is like that of the nephew. And the example of those, of the uncles, we are like those seven uncles, and the dunya is like that nephew. The dunya all the time is deceiving us. We think to ourselves, if this happens in my life, then I will devote my life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I reach 40, then I will change my life and I will start reading my salah. I will leave my life of sin. We tell ourselves. And then when the 40 comes, then we tell ourselves 50, 60. We carry on procrastinating and we get more and more deceived in this world. This is this world, the life of this world. We get deceived and we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this inclination for the world must enter our heart. And inclination for akhirat. See, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we see they were always prepared for akhirat. The love they had for akhirat. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, one tabi, a person, tabi is a person who saw a sahabi, he lived in the time of a sahabi, he did not see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he comes to Abu Huraira. Now Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he devoted, now he was in his late age, and he devoted his major part of his life in passing the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know he was that sahabi who narrated the most amount of ahadith. Approximately 5,000 ahadith are narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So the tabi, the student, he comes to Abu Huraira and tells him, please advise me. Give me some, mention a hadith which you heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That much, he says that Rasulullah ﷺ has said, and then he falls unconscious. فَنَهَشَ نَهْشَ. He falls unconscious. Then after a while, the tabi gets worried. What happens? Sprinkles water on him. After a while, he gains consciousness. And again, second time this happened. And a third time. And after that, after three times, he falls unconscious and then regains consciousness. He gets that strength to mention the hadith which Rasulullah ﷺ has mentioned. Then he mentions the three types of people that will be first thrown into Jahannam. One, he mentioned, is that person who devoted his life for deen, in passing the teaching the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teaching Quran, teaching hadith. But Allah will tell him on the day of Qiyamah, you done it to show people, to so that people can call you a great scholar, so can people can praise you. People have said it, and he will be the first person thrown in Jahannam. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in his mind, he's thinking, imagine a sahabi whose whole life was devoted to deen, he had no love for this world. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, what sacrifice he made. Rasulullah sallam, sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were guaranteed Jannah, yet they had this fear that what's going to be my condition. He's thinking to in his mind, I given my whole life in imparting a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but maybe my intention was not sincere. Maybe I had other intentions. He thinks of akhirah. What's going to be my condition when I stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he falls unconscious three times. That's how much fear they had for akhirah. That's how much they knew that we're going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Haritha radiallahu anhu. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam meets him and asks him, "Kif asbahta ya Harith?" Oh Harith, how did you find the morning? How did you wake up? Look at the reply of the sahabi. Ask ourselves, are we able to reply in this manner like the sahaba radiallahu anhum? It says, "Asbahtu mu'minan haqqa." That alhamdulillah, this morning I've woken up and I am a true believer. I'm 100% believer. My iman is 100%. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, لِكُلِّ حَقِّ حَقِيقَ. Every statement has to be backed up with some proof. What is your proof? Sayyidina Haritha radiallahu anhu replies and he says, it is as if I can see Jannat before me on my right. I can see Jannat on my left. As if the pul sirat is before me. Every step I take, I have this fear in my heart, I may not live to see the next step. And my iman is on that level. I have that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have got that love for Jannah, the disinclination for Jahannam. And I'm prepared to meet my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Sahaba radiallahu anhu. We need to ask ourselves, are we prepared to leave, to die? Maut and leaving this world is a reality. We have to leave this world. We definitely are going to leave this world. Are we ready to meet Allah? Can we make that claim that we are 100% believers? I'm ready to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person needs to ask himself, when I stand up and I read salah, what thoughts come in my mind? Whatever thoughts come in a person's mind, especially during salah, that is what is in his heart. Can we read 2 rakat salah with our consciousness, only the consciousness of Allah in our heart? You know, in the grave, the first question that will be asked is, Man Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? And there the answer will not come from the tongue, it will come from the heart. You know, example is of a sponge. You take a sponge and you put it into, soak it into water. When you squeeze it, you cannot expect milk or juice to come out. Water is going to come out. So this heart is like that. Whatever effort we make in this world, whether we make effort on our deen, if our heart, our inclination is towards akhirat, towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala, it will be easy for us to say Allah. When we have problems, ask ourselves, what do we do first? Do we try to take, when we are sick, our family is sick, do we read 2 rakat salah first and ask Allah, Ya Allah, you are the creator of the sickness, you remove the sickness from my child, or for my wife, or for myself? Or do we first go and take that medication? Ask ourselves. It just shows exactly what's in our heart. What we do in our free time, when we are free, where our hearts get inclined towards what we want to do, it shows exactly what's in a person's heart. So we all need to see exactly what's in our heart. We need to make this effort that how the love of akhirat, that inclination for the hereafter, the disinclination of this world. And we need to prepare for the maut, to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that beautiful dua. Allahumma barik lana fil maut wa fima ba'd al maut. Oh Allah, bless us at the time of death. And after the time of death, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills our heart with the love of akhirat. Allah fills our heart with the disinclination of this world, that which will take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to prepare for death, to prepare for akhirat. And there are different efforts for us to get involved in. How we can prepare for akhirat. We have got the different efforts of deen. How we can try to join these efforts so that we can prepare for akhirat. We can come onto our 5 times salah. And we will then find that sweetness of iman. A person who has the love of Allah in his heart, has the love for deen, that person will enjoy his life. He'll get the sweetness of iman. The awliya, the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would say, if the rich and the kings of the world, if only they knew that enjoyment that we get in our hearts, if they knew what we get in our hearts, that enjoyment we experience, they will abandon all that luxury of theirs, and they will try to slit this heart of ours and try to get that which we have in our hearts. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah grant us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.